Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman again for today. The last two programs have been recorded because I was trying to get a few people up to speed with some of the things we've been talking about. Now, if you're somebody who is already up to speed, sometimes you should bear with us because there are certain people who joined us late and they do not have the discipline to listen to all the messages in the past, even if we do send them those messages. So sometimes you just have to keep on recapping so that as many people as possible come on board and understand what we are talking about. Now, today I'm on, it's not a recorded show, although I'm just going to run people through a timeline of events that the Bible says is going to happen in a period not too far away from now, just so that we know what when we talk about this, what are we talking about. And these are things that I've kind of talked about in bits here and there, but I'm just going to run through them for particular reasons. But before I do that, I just want to mention that, first of all, on Friday, there was some good news for us and some of our people who are listeners here, when a story ran in one of the daily newspapers saying that the Pope was no longer coming to Uganda, and that had been a subject of our collective prayer. And that was so wonderful for us because the Lord had showed us how it was going to, his presence here was going to overthrow the faith of many. Now, so many people don't know that when somebody comes who is a general in whichever kingdom, it affects the nation. When somebody like that comes, the nation is affected one way or the other just because of the kind of person that there is. So when somebody who is a powerful servant of God comes in the country, just by his appearance in the country, there are so many things that happen, positive, godly, just because somebody who is of the kingdom of God appeared in the country. So now we didn't want the Pope to visit here. Those who are listeners of this program know what we think about him. For one, we know that he's an apostate Pope, but so some people didn't think we should pray about it. But of course, I don't go by the opinions of people. I go by what the Lord has told us. So we did pray that he does not come, along with so many people out there who are now listening. And somebody sent me a WhatsApp message on Friday saying, "Have you read the newspaper today? Apparently, the Pope has lost interest in ever coming to Uganda. So his visit has been put off indefinitely." First, it was supposed to be in June on Martyrs Day. And that one was cancelled. We prayed about it. Then he pushed it to October. Now he's indefinitely not coming to Uganda, and that is good news for us and listeners of Watchman. So I just had to update you on that, and that came, by the way, from the Catholic Secretariat and stuff, but it was in the newspaper. So that's just something I want to. So now, what's the next item that we are going to be praying for? Now that we know that a collective prayer, because you know this is our country, and when we speak something collectively, we don't need 100 people, although I'm sure we had a lot more than 100. We just need 3 people, and we speak something as people for this is our country, and we say we do not want this person here, and we affirm it and we pray about it. It happens. That is according even to Matthew 18:19. When two people agree concerning anything and they pray about it, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven, Jesus said. So that is done. Now, what is the next item we are going to be praying for? Perhaps for 15 minutes after the show. Let's first have the show, then we shall talk about what item we are going to be praying for between 10 when this show ends and 10:15. Then you can go and sleep or whatever, watch TV, whatever you do at night. Just if you're one of our listeners and you know you're interested in this message going forth and things like that, and if so many people of course are, and so many people were moved to pray that the pontiff doesn't come, so I'm so glad that I have there are so many listeners who are really interested in this, as well as so many people who really partner with it because they want to see the message going forth. That is a very powerful thing. But let's move on. Now, I said earlier on at the beginning of this year, it was on the second Wednesday of the year, I said, I was talking about 15 things that we are going to see in 2015, and I said that sex change operations are going to become such a big piece of news, and the news media are going to be hyping them and things like that, because they want to, it's part of the new world order, the satanic agenda of confusing the sexes. Now, of course, this started a long time ago when women were taught to behave like men, and they were called, they called it liberation or emancipation. And somehow, people who are confused about genders. You find women behaving like men, and then men behaving like women, and all this is a push towards something. Of course, out at the beginning, it was a push towards homosexuality, because if you can get women to behave like men, then you can get men to behave like women, then you can get men to go with each other and women to go with each other. So, but they, for some reason, the devil wants to confuse genders, because somebody's gender is part of the assignment. And if you're a woman, and you're born a woman, it is part of your assignment. God is there's something that you have to do on this world, and which your gender is going to be, your gender is going to be a part of it. And of course, in terms of reward, you're rewarded in as far as what your assignment was and how much you did of your assignment when the time of reward comes, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, so I said we are going to see so many sex change operations, and how it was going to be a big thing. Towards the end of last year, we saw some guy who is a boxing promoter called Frank Maloney, who is 62 actually, who was a man, of course, Frank, and he had a sex change operation, and there were pictures all over of him, and looking like a mother, and there were stories of his children saying they are confused, they don't know if they should call him dad or if they should say we have two moms, and there is a lot of children were thoroughly confused and things like that. But it's just a beginning of confusion, and of course, because it's part of the new world order agenda and the satanic agenda, it is going to make big news. Okay, now this week we had another big news of somebody who has changed, who is changing his gender. The gentleman called Bruce Jenner, who is those who watch those television reality shows of Keeping Up with the Kardashians and so on. Bruce Jenner is the stepfather of Kim Kardashian, and well, he's having a sex change operation, and it's making big news. He's 65. I don't know why somebody wants to change their gender at that age, but anyhow, or at any age really, but it even sounds more weird when somebody is above 60 and they're changing their gender. But that is a part of the new world order agenda, and of course now it has made big news. It's all over the news channels and things like that, and it's kind of like way up there. And if you want to know what the new world order is planning and the satanic agenda, just have to watch the news media, which I do, by the way. I do for part specifically for that reason, just to know what they are doing now. And there's all this thing of now, you know, the funny thing is now the Christian faith is the most persecuted faith in the whole world, and some of the countries where Christians are persecuted actually involve America to a very big extent. Now, I'll tell you this, after that whole sex change thing, I was reading about a couple in America, in Oregon, I believe, whose business was bankrupted because court fined them $135,000 for refusing. They were cake makers. They make cakes for wedding, but they refused to make a cake for a gay wedding, for a homosexual wedding rather, and the homosexuals who were supposed to wed went to court, and the judge ordered them to pay $135,000. Apparently they went to court saying their confidence had been injured, they felt discriminated against, and so on and so forth. So court ordered the business of this Christian couple to pay $135,000, and they were completely bankrupted as a result and taken out of business because they refused to make a cake for a homosexual wedding. Now the thing is this, now homosexuals would specifically go to people who are known to be Christians because they want to force your hand. Now you see, now this is a strong statement that has been made by these people. They want to force your hand. They will not go to somebody who is an atheist who will comfortably make for them a cake, for their homosexual wedding, neither will they go to any other part. They will go specifically to a Christian because there's something they are trying to target. And then if you do it, it's kind of against your conscience, like these people clearly said. If you don't do it, then they take you to court. And now you see, the judge comes up and finds you $135,000 and actually takes you out of business because of that. So, and this is precisely what Jesus, and this is the authority that these people want in society. They want to control everybody. And when the whole thing was here, people were saying, and of course these arguments were being fronted by, you know, people who don't know any better because they see things at the beginning. Now, they were saying, no, who cares what people do behind in their private bedrooms and things like that. And you sound like you're making sense, really. But the truth is, those people don't want to do anything behind their bedrooms. That's not what they're interested in. They want to come and subdue all Christianity. That's what they want. If they wanted to do it in their bedrooms, they wouldn't need a law, because there's no law that says you should go in people's bedrooms checking what they are doing. But the fact that they are coming and implanting it in the legal system, and therefore making it impossible for you to even express any form of dismay at what they are doing, means that they actually want total control. Now, they are achieving it in so many of the states of America, and that is Obama's agenda. And just thank God, I don't believe Hillary Clinton is going to be president, but if she became president, I mean, this agenda is going to be the Antichrist agenda. It's going to be very strong, because she's just as much a proponent of it as Obama. They are just two of a kind. So maybe, it's just terrible. And all the Christians, of course, what do? They sit down and keep quiet when all these things happen. Now, an old judge who still has some sense of morality ruled in Indianapolis, Indiana, that people are free to refuse to serve people on the basis of their conscience. And it became such a big deal across the country, and big businesses were threatening, big American businesses, including Walmart and so on, were threatening to pull out of the state of Minnesota, and so on, which of course would affect them economically. And what do Christians do? They keep quiet. Because if Christians, because they're about 60% Americans who are Christians, if they just stood up and said, if Walmart is going to pull out of Indiana because a judge has ruled that we have a right to live according to our conscience, then we Christians are not going to purchase anything in Walmart. If they even threatened, they don't even have to do it. If they threatened, because they can bankrupt Walmart by simply doing that, and therefore they would force all those companies to look at in their direction. But Christians are so timid, I don't know why, and they don't do any of these things. They just keep quiet, and the very few homosexuals and so on push their agenda, and somehow the people who are supposed to be pushing the opposite direction are quiet, and those who try are actually shot down by their fellow Christians. And it's just anyhow, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And we know that in the days of Lot, these people had so much power that they can come to somebody's house and say, open your door, we want to have canon knowledge of those men who have just come. And Lord starts pleading with them. I mean, imagine a scenario where, first of all, the whole place is full of these people. And by the way, I'll tell you this, violence and that homosexual demon and violence go hand in hand. And this, imagine, and many of them, by the way, many people have had, you know, near close experiences with homosexual rape and so on and so forth. And that is even according to the Bible. There is not a time in the Bible when they were homosexuals when they are not violent. They do their things violently. They don't come and in the way that typical heterosexuals do. I mean, not all of them, but largely a heterosexual will see a woman whom he likes and goes and, you know, approaches her and tries to ask her out. Now, that's not how homosexuals do. They actually tend to go towards towards violence. But Jesus said that as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of Son of Man. So we are heading there, and all the conditions, as I told you earlier on, that the Bible speaks about, that have to be in place before the coming of the Lord, are actually taking root very, very fast in this era that we are living in. Now, something else I just want to point out that's happening in the news before we get into this teaching of today is the subject of immigrants, the African immigrants who are crossing from most largely West Africa into, the Italian island of Lampedusa, or is in Italy, really. And I'm thinking to myself that, why are there thousands suddenly of immigrants crossing? Because they are coming from countries which do not necessarily have war. They are coming from Cameroon, where there is no war. Actually, the only African country, if I have it right, I think Cameroon is the only African country that has not had civil war at all in its post-independent history. They are coming from Nigeria, which is, largely at peace. There is only two states. Seriously, there's just one state, the state of Maiduguri in the northeast, that had the Boko Haram. But Nigeria has 36 states, so 35 of the 36 states are in peace. But somehow there are so many people coming from Nigeria, they are coming from Sierra Leone, they are coming from Gambia, from West African countries, and they are being admitted into Europe. And I'm wondering, is there something that is not quite right? Because when you see all the media channels seeming to sympathize with the immigrant case, when you know that how opposed they are to immigration, because in Australia, what they did, because there were all these boats coming from islands that are close to Australia, coming with immigrants trying to get into Australia. Now, what the Australian Coastal Guards chose to do is they just escort the boat right back to where it came from, and make sure it doesn't touch onto the coast of Australia, and it doesn't enter into the waters of Australia, because according to international law, when somebody enters your waters and is seeking asylum, he has a right to be heard. Okay, if you can get into any country and say I'm seeking asylum, according to international law, they can't send you back without hearing your case. They have to hear you properly, and actually, in so many countries, they would even have to get for you a lawyer to push your case for asylum. And then they will have to decide if you deserve asylum or what. If you prove that your country of origin, your life is really threatened, then you can go to any country and they will be bound by law, by international law, to accept you into that country. So what these people do, they make sure they don't enter into the waters of Australia, and they send them back. And now that's what I would call conventional sense, in as far as I know the way these people think. Now, but suddenly, it seems that Europe seems to be wanting to take them on. I don't understand what is behind it, but I believe there's a new world order agenda behind the fact that even all the news channels are now sympathizing with these immigrants, and taking them to the apparently to safety and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, is this there's something that's not right there, which I still have to investigate. What is the purpose of all of that? What are they pushing towards? Because these people don't do anything. When you start seeing CNN coming up with all these reports of how somebody survived the sea, and how life was so tough in Africa, and how they've come to a better life, and they seem to be sympathizing with that cause, then there's a big problem. Because across in England there's an election, and one of the biggest issues is the issue of immigration. They actually want to pull out of the European Union, because according to the European Union laws, if any country, of course, accepts somebody as a citizen of their country, then that person has a right to go and work in the UK because of that unity of the European Union, even if UK is not fully involved in the euro zone but they are still bound by the labor laws. So they want to pull they are threatening to pull out some of the parties there because of that. Now then I hear Britain is contributing money to look after the African immigrants while coming into, and I'm thinking, isn't that contradictory? Anyway, I'll investigate what is behind that, and I'll come up with the reason why they are doing that. Now, earlier on I told you that the Ebola crisis, they were planning to, there actually was a serious plan. You just have to know that God intervenes in so many of these things. Otherwise, if he let the New World Order have their way, I told you they want to reduce the population of the world to 1 billion from the 7 billion that currently is, and that would involve almost 85% reducing the population of the world by almost 85%. But the Ebola crisis, which had been planned the way it had been planned and the way it had been predicted by CNN, failed, and it's kind of did take off. But you see, there was a lot of news on the media channel about CNN, or rather about Ebola, or especially on CNN and so on, and all the others. I mean, you just have to look at all the Western media channels and you know what is being planned. And they were talking so much Ebola. In reality, Ebola was only in four countries, really. I mean, seriously. There are countries where there were one or two cases found and they immediately disappeared, like Nigeria. But what the plan had initially been to take that thing and put it in a country as populous as Nigeria. Then you'd see how many body bags you were going to see on the channel. But the thing is, somehow the Ebola crisis watered away and seems to be now totally on the wane, in spite of the better efforts of the world, the New World Order, to spread it and make big news about it and so on, and say that they are predicting this. I told you there's another strain of Ebola which is even worse than the one that currently is, and which kills faster and which kills completely, because it completely consumes the body. And actually, when somebody dies, the body becomes like a jelly. It just totally consumes the body. And they were planning all that, but somehow didn't work out. Anyway, I can tell you this for sure, that God has somehow diverted that Ebola plan to save his people. I mean, and so it's not going to be as bad as they had planned it. Now, today we're talking about some of the things that must happen that are in the Bible. Now I'm getting into the lesson, that are in the Bible that are supposed to happen shortly. And to give an introduction to some people who have not been following this program, for what we are talking about here now, I'll run through them here in order, in which the order in which I believe they are going to be. Somewhere in between all of this, the rapture is going to happen. There is what the Bible calls the great falling away of the church, that is the great apostasy of the church, when the Christian church becomes apostate along with the unbelieving world, along with the Babylonian system. Now 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no one deceive or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted falling away of those who have professed to be Christian has come. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And the man of lawlessness, that is the man of sin, is revealed, who is the son of doom, that or the son of perdition. And the Bible says, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and insolently against and over all that is called God or that is worshipped, even to his actually taking his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. Now, the act of the Antichrist sitting in the temple in Jerusalem, which is going to be built, and proclaiming that he is God, is what the Bible calls the abomination that causes desolation, or the abomination of desolation. Now, somebody who obviously has just started listening to this program sent me a message saying, what is the abomination of desolation? And I'm thinking we should have passed that by now, because the program has been on air for 1 year, and now certain terminology should be part of the things that you know for certain. Now, the falling away has to happen first. Then the man of sin has to be revealed. Now, these are two different scenarios. The man of sin is the man of sin, being the Antichrist, from that same passage that I read, has to be revealed. How is he going to be revealed? The Bible says that he mediates between an international peace agreement between Israel and all their surrounding Arab neighbors, in which they guarantee Israel's right to exist in that place is confirmed for the first time. The Bible says he will confirm a covenant with many. Why does it say confirm? Because Israel's right to exist in that place, from the time that God gave it to Abraham, has been contested throughout the time. It has been contested. Philistines have always been there fighting against Saul, fighting against David. From the time that Joshua came and took over the place, they were there, and there was always a contest, and there has always been a contest over Israel's right, or the Jews' right to be in that place. Now this Antichrist will come and confirm that they have a right to be there, but it will involve, it will be an agreement that involves giving the Palestinians their state and sharing the Temple Mount, which is where the temple is going to be built, and which is also where the Alaska Mosque and the Rock of the Dome, those are that's the third holiest site in Islam, are currently. Okay, but where the Jews believe they should build their temple, it's a small piece of land outside Jerusalem called the Temple Mount. Now that's a very important term. Now you have to understand what the Temple Mount is. But the man of sin is revealed when he mediates in that agreement. So whoever it is that causes that agreement to be signed, that is the superintendent over it, and agreed the peace deal between Israel and the Arabs around them, whoever that person is will be the Antichrist. Now Daniel 9:27 says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. The covenant is going to be for 7 days, for 7 years. 1 week here in Daniel speaks of 7 years, 7 days, 7 years. That's the symbolism of the book of Daniel. So he will confirm a covenant for 7 years. It will be an interim covenant. Now we've spoken about this before, that actually 7 years interim covenant, interim agreement, has been suggested by the UN. Would you believe it? They came and said, we want to sign an agreement, but because there are certain things that both parties cannot agree on now, and they are not going to permanently agree on, so they will not append their signatures on a document unless certain things that they have been resolved. One of the key things that they are not going to agree on, and which is going to force them to have to settle for a short-term interim agreement, is the issue of Jerusalem. And Israel is not going to give up Jerusalem. They are going to say, we cannot give up East Jerusalem, which is what the Palestinians want, but what we are going to do is we can give up the West Bank, which in the Bible is called Judea and Samaria. Now they will say, we can give up that and let the Palestinians take that, then we'll give them, of course, they will, the whole Gaza, whatever, Gaza Strip and Gaza City, and the Golan Heights will probably go back to where they came from Syria. And so Israel's size will be reduced, but then the Arabs will sign and say, now we acknowledge that Israel has a right to exist, and therefore we are signing a peace deal with them. But the Arabs actually want Jerusalem, the Palestinians, but Israel is not going to give it to them. Now, because they are not going to agree on that, they will say, okay, for the sake of peace, let's agree a 7-year interim agreement. But after 7 years, we have to come back on the table to discuss the issue of Jerusalem. Now, that has already been suggested by the United Nations, who, by the way, do not believe what the Bible says. Only the Bible says the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with many, that is, with many surrounding countries. All the Arab countries will depend on it for 1 week, for 7 years. Okay? But it says, but in the middle of the 7 years, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. That is what is called the abomination of desolation, which Jesus said, spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Interesting, Daniel was never called a prophet anywhere except Jesus. He's the one who called him a prophet. So, spoken of by the prophet Daniel. And on the wing of abominations, he shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Now that is just King James terminology, really, but what it says is that the abomination of desolation happens in the middle of that 7-year interim agreement. I've told you that every president who has come in America has set a deadline for his 8 years to be the one that causes the agreement to be signed. But of course, it will eventually not come from America, because the person who causes it to be signed will be the Antichrist, as I told you. But Bill Clinton actually mediated and came very close in the year 2000 to cause Ehud Barak, who was the Prime Minister of Israel at the time, and Yasser Arafat, who was the PLO leader, to sign an agreement. They agreed on everything that was on the table, every contentious issue. The only thing that separated them were the 32 acres of the Temple Mount, that place where I told you, which where there is the Alaska Mosque and where the Jews want to build the temple. That one they failed to agree. But what the Bible says is that it is going to be under a shared agreement. It says that actually in Revelation 12, it's going to be under a shared agreement. And part of it will belong to the Arabs, where the mosque is, and part of it will belong to the Jews, and will be overseen by the international body, or the Antichrist and his system, or the United Nations, really. So the man of sin is revealed. He signs a contract with between Israel and all the Arab nations for 7 years, an interim contract. Jerusalem remains under the control of Israel, as it is always going to be. Then the rest, Golan, the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, goes to the Palestinians, as well as Gaza, and so on. Then Israel agrees on a certain framework of peace for the 7 years. But in the middle of the 7 years, the Antichrist breaks the agreement and causes a serious row between all those people now. Which is called the abomination of desolation. Now we are going to talk a bit about that in detail. But now, then, when the agreement is signed, it starts a period, which is a period of peace, which I have called here when teaching the first 3.5 years. Because when the peace agreement is signed, there's going to be peace. There's going to be something of a one world government. The mark of the beast will really kind of be taking place, but I believe we shall still be here as a church. The rapture will not yet have happened, but the mark of the beast, or the 666, the mark in the forehead or in the right hand, will not have been enforced yet. But so many people will be taking it as some sort of convenience, because as I told you before, it is it's convenient for so many people, because you don't have to move with a credit card or with any kind of financial information or even medical information or identification or anything like that. You don't have to move with any of that. You can go anywhere in the world and everything that speaks about you is inside your body. Now that will sound cool, and so many people will go for it. Only it is the mark of the beast, and those who take it will definitely have moved away from God, and they will be beyond repentance. Now that is very clear in the Bible. Those who take the mark of the beast are past repentance. They are definitely going to hell, as a matter of certainty. Anybody who takes the mark of the beast is definitely going to hell. Now the thing is that it will be marketed as some cool thing, some cool technology, like so many of the other things. So I mean, enjoy all the technology there is, but don't let anything get enter your body. Let it stay outside. Have all the other systems, let them stay out of your body. Keep your body sacred. That's the only way of being sure. Of course, there will be things which can go into the body that are not necessarily the mark of the beast, but the easiest way to know is just don't let anything enter your body, and they will not force anybody. Now then starts the period which is called the tribulation. Now theology says there's a 7-year tribulation, but according to the Bible there actually is a 3.5-year tribulation, because the first 3.5 years are not called tribulation, but I will just call it tribulation. Starts when the Antichrist signs the agreement. But the real tribulation, which is called the Great Tribulation, starts after the 3.5 years. Now there, after that, the Bible says that this comes a time when the fullness of Gentiles comes in. Now the gospel has been spread to the Gentiles. Paul made it very clear. Actually, I'm reading from Romans 11, verse 25. It says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, so all Israel will be saved." Okay, as it is written, "The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take them away." Now there's going to come a time when Israel is going to be saved, and the fullness of the Gentiles will have come in. Okay, now remember, it says the fullness of the Gentiles, then Israel will be saved. All the remaining Jews at the time will be saved. That's when they will know that Christ was the Messiah all along, and so on, and because he revealed himself to them. Now, so the fullness of the Gentile comes in. That's the fourth thing. The fifth thing is what the Bible calls the day of the Lord. Now, I'm not necessarily mentioning them in order, but calls it the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord comes, and spoken about so many times in the Bible. And maybe I'll just read spoken over in the Old as well as in the New Testament, but I'll just read from the book of Revelation chapter 6, and this and I'll leave all the other passages that speak about the day of the Lord, and which is different from the rapture, by the way. "Now I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake," and this, now I'm reading from Revelation 6:12. "There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of the heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid himself in the caves and in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountain and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" Now that is what the Bible calls the day of the Lord. And Matthew 24, the great prophecy chapter, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heaven will be shaken." now. Those are just two scriptures talking about the day of the Lord, but you can also find it in Joel chapter 2 verse 30. You can find it in Isaiah 13. You can find it in 2 Peter chapter 3. You can find it in Hebrews chapter 1. I mean, the day of the Lord is spoken of in so many places and talks about this wonderful day when judgment of God comes. Now, when does this come? It comes at the end of the tribulation, at the end of the 7 years, at the time of the battle of Armageddon. Now, somewhere within the 7 years is what the Bible calls the rapture or the appearance of the Lord. And there will be signs that precede it when the Lord will come for his people. Now, first of all, before that, the appearance of the Lord also, which is now going back to Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fade from the sun and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. That is the same event that I've been reading from Revelation chapter 16. It's the same thing that Jesus is also talking about here. It says all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming out of the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth to the other. Now, that is the day of the Lord, which happens at the end of the 7 years. But before that, the rapture would have happened. Now, so here is the sequence of events, just as they are going to happen. First of all, the great falling away comes, the apostasy, which we have already seen, when Christianity professes to be one, and they have one body of Christianity, which agrees the same, and almost some kind of same worship system, which agrees the same. Then after that, there is the agreement with Israel, which we seem to always be on the brink on, actually. Senator John Kerry had set May last year as the deadline for them to sign it. That failed. They extended the deadline. It is failing. It is failing. It is going to fail until there is a big war in the Middle East, which so many people are going to die. Then even Israel and Arabs will say, now we are tired of this fighting, we need peace. Then somebody will come and bring them on the table together, and they sign it. That person will be the Antichrist, and to begin the last 7 years of human government. When that agreement is signed, and it will be in the news, it will be the last 7 years of human government. Now, the rapture can happen any time at around there, but we know that will be the last 7 years of human government. Now, when that happens, then there's some kind of peace for the first 3.5 years. The Antichrist is in control of a worldless system, the kind of world of Babylon, but he's not exactly in full control. He doesn't have the total control, because he has control only in the second 3.5 years. Now, the first 3.5 years is going to be, that's the time that Jesus says that, which as it was in the days of Lord, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. That's the time when Jesus says that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That's the time that Daniel 8:23 says that the transgressors will come to their fullness, when all the imaginable sins that you can think of have been permitted, and people are free to do. There is no law against anything, because I told people the other day, somebody was asking me, what do you think about all this homosexuality? I said, forget about homosexuality. Now the next thing is bestiality, and now there are already scientific studies which apparently are proving that people have some people have a tendency to want to be with animals. And they are going to popularize these beliefs, and the people who claim to be educated and who believe everything that professors with long beards and white coats say are going to come and tell us that now it's okay to have, to have sex with an animal because professor so and so has said it. And I pity people who believe these things, because it's the devil, and he's masking him, he's confusing people, and they get confused in the name of education. Anyhow, so then in that time, when they are through with bestiality, they are not stopping there. Now, the other day, academics in America apparently proved beyond reasonable doubt that all men have a natural attraction towards a natural sexual attraction towards infants, towards young infant girls, and they say it is natural. Now, the next thing they are going to remove is the whole defilement and underage or pedophilia, And it's not the first opinion I've read saying that no, we should not condemn pedophiles. Pedophiles are people who have sex with minors. That we should not condemn them, we should understand them, because so many people have these thoughts. Just because these people actually act on these thoughts doesn't mean they are so evil. And you see serious people coming up with arguments, and you're saying, am I reading right? And they are. And they are going to say, it's okay, you can go and find a 5-year-old girl, and that's fine because it's natural. And all this is coming from a classroom, from academics and people who claim to be educated. I mean, that's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's no way you can tell me, no matter how many degrees somebody has, professor, what, if you don't fear God, you're a fool, according to the Bible. Now, that's what I believe. Okay, because now they are going to come with all this academic reasoning of what, now it's okay for, I mean, some people have attraction to animals, so it's okay, go and have sex with animals. Now go and have sex with minors. Can you believe that? And all this is going to happen in this time. Now the Bible, Daniel said, at the end of those, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, when sin has reached its maximum, when there is nothing left that, like the most abominable things have now become commonplace or have become mainstream, then the Antichrist shows up. The first 3.5 years, those are the years in which there will be apparent peace, but there will be a lot of persecution for Christianity, the kind of which that we're already seeing now, from that story I told you of a family, a couple whose business of making cakes was bankrupted because they refused to make cakes for a homosexual wedding. Anyhow, so now that's the 3.5 years. Those are some of the things that happened there. There's a lot of deception in regards aliens and what we are, alien species. Aliens are going to come and take people away, and that is the new world order explanation for the rapture. Because when the rapture happens, so many people would otherwise say, oh, so these believers were actually right all along that there's going to be a rapture. Because when you tell people rapture, and you tell somebody who is not a believer, you sound like you're out of your mind. You probably need to go and talk to a shrink. But when it does happen, and it will happen, and they are preparing the people for it already, even the non-believers, they will tell them that there's been an alien abduction. Now that has already been explained before. People talking about there's going to come a time of alien abduction. Aliens are going to come and abduct everybody. I mean, not everybody. They are going to abduct people with a backward way of thinking, people whose mindset has failed to be renewed with the times. Okay, people who have beliefs which belong in yesteryears, in the age of yesterday and not today. That would be people like you and me who are Christians, born again Christians. Now they say aliens apparently are going to come and abduct us, and for some reason, when they went to those alien visitations, they came and said that as many as 2 billion people, how I wish there are 2 billion people who are apparently abducted by aliens, because what they are saying is they're explaining the rapture away. Because I wish there are 2 billion people who are raptured. That would be a powerful thing, you know. If 2 billion people are raptured of the 7 billion, that means we'll have preached the gospel big time. And how I wish that was true. But of course it came from there. I don't know where they get that figure from. Now, the issue is, so there's going to be all that deception in the 3.5 years. Now, at the end of those 3.5 years, I believe, now this is subject to contest, of course, depending on what theological dispensation in regard to the rapture you come from. But at the end of the 3.5 years, or in the middle of the 7 years, will come what is called the abomination that causes desolation. Now when that happens, what it is actually, as I've told you, is the Antichrist. At that time, the Jews will have built their temple. The Jews will be sacrificing animals in their temple the way they used to do before, and some animal rights activists will be very angry at it, because they will be telling that animals have rights too and things like that. Actually, we have a judge in New York who ruled recently that chimpanzees have human rights. Very soon they are going to say chimpanzees and human beings are the same. Because if chimpanzees have human rights, not animal rights, then what they are trying to say is there's no difference between chimpanzees and human beings. But I don't know where these people get these things from. But anyhow, I mean, just thank God we believe in the Bible, because people are going to become so stupid in the name of. I mean, that's why it says in Romans, professing to be wise, they became fools. Now they are going to end up sleeping with chimpanzees in the name of wisdom. Professing to be wise, they are going to become absolute fools. The Bible says that. Anyhow, so that is the abomination that causes destruction, there's going to be sacrifices happening. And so many animal rights activists will come up and say that no, it's not fair to ban animals, because the way the Jews used to sacrifice before in the Old Testament, in the Levitical days, is sometimes they actually used to put the animal just straight on into the fire and then burn it to ashes. So some people would think that is so cruel. So animal rights activists come up, people, you know, are protesting and what. So the Antichrist stands up and says, now we have had enough of all this religion. And I mean, the all sorts of religion, the Islams, the Muslims are looking for some Mahdi who is coming, who is about the 12th Imam. The Hindus are, the Buddhists are looking for a fifth Buddha. Christians are looking for the return of Christ and everything. So he stands up and says, listen, how about this? I am the God that you should be looking out to. So he stands up in the temple and declares himself to be God, the Bible says. Now that declaration of himself, the Antichrist as God, is what the Bible calls the abomination that causes desolation, which Jesus said was spoken of by the prophet Daniel and was also spoken of by himself, by the Lord. Now, when that happens, the final 3.5 years of human government happens, where there is going to be a great tribulation. The Bible says there will be such great tribulation, such as has never been on the face of the earth. That's when the 16, or rather the 7 vials of the punishment of the wrath of God, written in Revelation 15 and 16, are poured out on the earth. That's going to be a very powerful time of wrath. However, the rapture would have happened before that. I believe the rapture happens just before the abomination of desolation, in the middle of the 7 years. Now that, of course, is a subject of contention. If you don't believe that, don't let it stumble you in any way. That's what I believe. There are people who believe it happens at the beginning of the 7 years. There are those who believe, like myself, it happens in the middle of the 7 years. Then there are those, like some great prophecy teachers like Ivan Baxter, who believe that it happens at the end of the 7 years. Now, all these people seem to have scriptures to back up their view, but don't let that stumble you in any way. It's not a matter of doctrinal right or wrong. It's just it's something where you could accept a bit of conjecture or opinion. So the rapture happens just before the abomination of desolation, according to my theology. And then the abomination of desolation happens, then the great tribulation happens. Then at the end of the great tribulation, or rather during the great tribulation, the Antichrist is totally in charge of the world government. The mark of the beast is totally enforced. Anybody who does not have it cannot buy or sell or have a job. Some Christians will still be on the earth because they will have missed out the rapture when they were having fun. Some would have converted when they see the rapture and they had news. I mean, they had people talking about it. So many others will believe the lies of the devil, that it was aliens abducting backward thinking people, because suddenly people will wake up one day and there's millions of people missing from the face of the earth. And there's no way to explain it. Where have these people gone? Where is so and so? Where is so and so? Where is so and so? And they are nowhere to be seen. So they have to come up with an explanation, lest people say, oh, these Christians were right all along, and then they actually turn to the Lord. But because so many people will have entrenched themselves in unbelief and will be already defiant towards God, so many people will not believe even then. Only people who are on the borderline of believing, who kind of want to believe what we are saying but kind of think it sounds too superfluous, will be the ones who say, oh, so they were right all along. Now, those people will still be on earth, but it will be a tough time to be on earth, because if you refuse to take the mark of the beast, you'll be persecuted. You'll not be able to buy or sell. The Bible says even your own relatives will be pushing you to go and take the mark of the beast if they have taken it themselves. They'll be saying, who do you think you are? Go and take it. Now, you have a choice between running away, starving, or doing all sorts of things, going under. But if you come out and take the mark of the beast, then you're definitely going to spend eternity in hell. But if you refuse to take the mark of the beast, the Bible says you run from one city to the other. Jesus was talking then about the Jews, but then it says, I mean, it's just 3.5 years, so somehow you can survive on earth. Then Jesus will come back the other time to rescue even those who will have missed out on the rapture and who will be believers in himself. He'll come back and gather them from the east and the west. The Bible says there will be so many who will still be believers in spite of the fact that the earth will be under the total control of the Antichrist, of the Babylonian system, and its leader, who will be the Antichrist. Now, that's the last 3.5 years, but there will be so many plagues, there will be so many viruses, there will be so many things happening in the earth. That's when the 3.5 witnesses come, who are spoken of in the book of the two witnesses who spent three days dead, and 3.5 years spoken of in the book of Revelation. That's when they show up, they are witness to Israel, and they protect Israel during that time. Now Israel, when the Antichrist is in control towards the end of the 3.5 years, is the battle of Armageddon. Now the battle of Armageddon means the whole world, the whole worldly system, the Antichrist and his system will attack Israel for one final onslaught on getting the city of Jerusalem. Why is Jerusalem so important? Because the Bible, so many times, almost 37 times in the Old Testament, the Bible says Jerusalem is my city. Now the devil wants to take Jerusalem away, and that's why all this, that's why the Palestinians are dying. They want Jerusalem because they know Jerusalem is not a Palestinian state, I mean city. It is a Jewish city. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. Just like we know Masaka belongs to Baganda. If somebody said Masaka is a district for Bachiga, I mean, they would be looking for controversy, wouldn't they? Because everybody knows it's the heartland, perhaps, of Buganda. Anyhow, so now the Battle of Armageddon comes. The whole world gathers against Israel, who is now has to fight to protect Israel, Jerusalem. Now Israel continues diminishing in size, and everybody is running into Jerusalem, and they try now. Even most of the countries are against them. They come and besiege, surround Jerusalem. It's spoken of in the book of Zechariah, it's spoken of in Joel, and so many other books. They come and surround Jerusalem, and then they come on it. They want to take it up before the Lord comes, hoping that they can stop the Lord from coming and setting his foot on the Mount of Olives, because the Bible says when he comes, Jesus Christ comes, this what I would call the third time, but which really is the second coming, because what I call the second coming myself is the rapture. But he doesn't come to the earth. He stops in the air and the saints meet him there, so he doesn't come to earth. But the what I would call the third coming, or what most people call the second coming, is when he comes at the Battle of Armageddon. Now what happens is, towards the end of the Battle of Armageddon, Israel is losing ground. It's coming up against so many superior nations. They are losing ground. They lose actually a third of the city of Jerusalem, but they are holding on to two-thirds of the city of Jerusalem. And then they reach a point when they have run out of ammunition, they have run out of steam, and they feel that they are completely surrounded and they have no place to run, the Jews and Israel and the Israeli army. So at that time they look up and say, look, we've heard that the Messiah is supposed to come at some stage. We've waited for the Messiah all these years, he hasn't come. Then they say, Messiah, if you are ever going to come, you come now, otherwise we're on the verge of being run over completely. Then when they say that, guess what happens? The heavens open up. The Bible says the sky will recede like a scroll, and the sky just opens up, and the whole world sees into the heavens and sees the throne of God, sees the throne of God into the heavens, and then they see the Son of Man coming down. That is, they see Jesus Christ coming down, and then all of them take off. All the people who disbelieve take off. The Bible says, I read that scripture earlier on, they hide under rocks and hills, and you know, saying, come and fall on us and save us. I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Because when the sky recedes, opens up, recedes like a scroll, they will see the heavens,
and they will see that. And then everybody will scatter because they will have been deceived. The whole world at this stage will be deceived. They will believe that but the devil is in control. They are going to overthrow. And there are people who actually believe this. They are going to overthrow God, and they are going to establish the kingdom of the devil here on earth. And these are the things that the Illuminati believe, actually. And somehow they are going to finish all religion and all Christianity, especially Christianity. They have nothing against Islam and what. They are going to finish Christianity and so on and so forth. So now these are some of the things that people believe. So now when they see this happening, they will know they have been deceived. Now Jesus Christ comes and touches his feet on the Mount of Olives, the same mountain from where he went. Remember what the angel said when the disciples were surrounding him and he was lifted up and went to heaven? The angel came and said, this same Jesus will come back in just the same way as he has gone. The Bible says he got lost in the clouds. Then they will see him coming in the same way, coming down and stepping on the Mount of Olives. The Bible says the mountain will be split in two when his feet touch it. And then the Jews will come and say, Messiah, because then they will know he's the Messiah. Then they will say, Messiah, what took you so long? We've waited all this time for you, and what? And then they look at him. The Bible says, actually mentioned in Zechariah, they look at his hands and then they see wounds in his hands. Then they say, Messiah, where did you get those wounds from? Then he says, I got these wounds from the house of my friends. This passage is in Zechariah. I got these wounds from the house of my friends. Then suddenly they realize, so all along you were Jesus. All along Jesus was the Messiah. So he says, yes. So then the Bible says they will weep as one who has lost his firstborn. They will weep and say, we were deceived, we were proud, we didn't believe in Jesus. Now they believe in him, and they will be saved, all the Jews who are around there in the world at the time, because that is a special dispensation for them as the earthly children of Abraham. Now then the Bible says Jesus will send an angel to go and bind Satan. Okay. Now some people, when you hear people teaching, they can make you think that Satan is a rival of Jesus. They are at the same level, but Jesus does not even touch him. He sends an angel and says, go and bind that devil, and then put him in the bottomless pit where he spends a thousand years of the millennial reign of Christ, and the Antichrist, Antichrist and the false prophet will be thrown in the lake of fire. For them, they go straight to hell. The devil, who is their boss, goes to the bottoms, to the bottomless pit. And for a thousand years, Christ reigns on earth with the people who will have been raptured, will come back with him. Okay, then those who will have remained Christians, even those who missed out on the rapture and remain Christian, will also be join up with him when he comes, and they will rule and reign on earth for a thousand years. After their thousand years, there will be the dead will rise from the dead, those who are not in Christ, and then there will be the great white throne judgment, which is a judgment of punishment. All those who are at the great white throne judgment will be going to hell. Okay, it will be a judgment of deciding punishment. Then the new Jerusalem, spoken of in Revelation 21, is brought down, which has been prepared for the children. It comes down, and we shall dwell there with the Lord forever and ever. Now, that is what the Bible says. Now that you know all these events, I just had to run through them for the sake of process. I've spoken in bits about all of this throughout this, but I had to go through it. Now, we are going to pray for the Watchman Conference for 15 minutes after this. For 15 minutes after 10, when this program ends, we are going to pray for the Watchman Conference. Please, if you are somebody who wants this message to be heard by everybody and as many people as possible to be caught up in the rapture, because your reward will depend on that. The Bible says, you know, your reward will depend on that. Please pray for this, because there is a reward for everything that you do for the Lord. Okay? The Lord rewards all the people who do for him. Even the small things like joining us to pray that the Pope doesn't come here so that so many people retain their faith, there is a reward for it. So now, I'm asking you to pray for 15 minutes after this show for the Watchman Conference, that we have a good conference, that we are provided for and everything. So take your time and pray for it. I'll join myself wherever I am for 15 minutes, and I'll join us all in prayer. But I also want you, as much as possible, to consider giving a big seed towards this good ground. I guarantee it's good ground, of the conference, because we are beginning to want to pay certain bills now. I told you it's in the third week of July. Now we're beginning to want to pay some bills.
So consider prayerfully to give a big seed towards the Watchman Conference, and I can assure you that it's absolutely good ground, and you will get an increase. I'm telling you that. And if you want to know how to give a work, send us an email. The email address is ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. 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 Send an email, ask us how you can contribute towards the conference, or if you want to contact us through phone, you can even ask for a phone number through that thing. I don't want to give phone numbers on air, and we shall tell you how you can contribute towards it. Kindly consider prayerfully to give a big seed and indicate that it is for the conference. Okay, now thank you so much for joining us. And of course, if you want to ask any other questions, people have been doing all that, the avenue is the email address. Okay, ask through that. Kindly ask through that, and may God bless you. So 15 minutes starting now, we are going to pray for the conference, all of us. Now we've seen what collective prayer can do for each and every one of us. So now let's take it up from there. Collective prayer, for one thing, starting right now. God bless you.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on